Father, let every person have ears to hear. Let us have eyes to see, and let us have hearts to understand. And then give us boldness to speak what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we have understood in the Spirit. May a change be made in every person on the sound of my voice here in person and by way of internet or any other ways of getting a hold of this message. May the Holy Spirit speak loud and clear and help us enjoy the benefits that the Lord Jesus has already paid for us to have. May the finished work of Christ be upon this house tonight. May the resurrected Christ appear, manifest, produce, bring forth the will of the Father. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. We glorify you. Holy Spirit, we recognize you, our teacher. And you unfold heavenly things in our hearts and our minds. And that not only our spirit, but our souls must be submitted to revelation knowledge that come only by the Holy Ghost. Thank you. If any way we have grieved or quenched or resist you, Holy Spirit, we repent right in the presence of all. I ask you to forgive us, Lord. We need your spirit. We need your presence. We need you answering questions and giving direction tonight. We need you to put an extension on our lives tonight. We need to be aware of the angels that are in charge over us. We thank you so much. Thank you for letting us come. Thank you for letting us be clothed in our right mind that this the best thing could happen to us. Thank you for these men and women who are here. Thank you that they will receive from you. And oh God, be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. You've done wonderful and mighty things in our midst. And you've extended our lives. And we're so thankful. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Let us speak clearly tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Get ready to get in the word. Let me open a scripture up to you. The Lord is aiming to bring the church or enabling us to or seeing the apostolic church in operation. It means that government is in order. And as we get this government in order, power will become more available to the church as they know how to operate in God's original plan. Remember I talked about that? The first purpose of God. So in order to get there, we need to understand some things. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I just want to show you a verse. After 9 years of the apostolic anointing working, 9 years within the works of the government of the kingdom in divine order and by ranks, and apostolically, foundationally, the Lord was laying some groundwork. But this verse holds a lot of truth that we should see. And I'm going to teach from one of them tonight because that's why I stopped off last setting. But we're talking about the church going back to God's original plan. And the leaders as well as the members know how to function in God's power accurately. You got that?
Yes,
see, we don't know that. We don't know that today. Today's church don't know how to function in God's power accurately. As a matter of fact, they don't know how to yield to the Holy Spirit accurately because When government is out of wax, everything out of wax. Are you hearing me? You let the head of the house get out of wax. You let a man get out of wax in his house. Those children ain't going to respect their mom. They'll say, yes, ma'am, but they'll go do what they want to do. That man got to stand up and let them know, no, this is not going to happen in this house. And so God has his church set the same way, not to hurt you, not to harm you, not to hold you down, but to show you some things and assist you and help you see something that you may not see. So we in this thing together, and we have to understand this in order to be a powerful church. You have to understand that we are in this together, we are learning together, and the Holy Spirit is sharing some things with us. Now, this 31st verse of the 9th chapter, it tells us four or five things about a church when a church is operating in the apostolic. It's so powerful, so powerful. It says, then had the churches rest. Underline the word rest. You need to have some rest in your life too. See, anything I tell you about the church, you can run parallel personally. Did you understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. That's the places he sent them in the first chapter. And was edified. Now, underline that word edified. Constantly in the spirit realm, or in our spiritual relationship with God through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit and revelation knowledge, every day we need to be being built up. In other words, built up spiritually that we can handle anything that comes. Edify. Not tear you down, edify, build you up. All right, edify. And now underline this. I want you to underline this whole clause here, because where we're going to go tonight. Because we don't have no concept at large about this, and walking in the fear of the Lord. I need to explain that, because it seems like the Bible contradicts itself, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, and perfect love casts out fear, but that's a different kind of fear. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Everybody say, walking in the fear of the Lord.
Walking in the fear of the Lord.
And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost.
And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost.
Will multiply. Notice what right before the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Walking in the fear of the Lord. All right. Okay. All right. Now, in seeing the apostolic church in operation, I say this to you. Acts, the book of Acts, have three headings. The Acts of the Apostle, the Acts of God, the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, we like to strike one out, you know, because we have this relationship with men. We don't understand God sent men and women to bring you a message, special messages. And so we'll applaud at the act of God, the act of the Holy Ghost. But when you say the acts of the apostle, people don't really understand that. They can't jam with that. You know what I'm saying? They can't jam with that. But we got to jam with that. It's kind of part of God's makeup. And so you see that. And the true nature of its mission, the church, along with principles. Now listen to this third one. Let me give it all to them again, the church. You got nine major emphases characterized in the book of Acts. The church, Acts, reveal a church source of power. Meaning now, I want you to parallel now. When I say the church source of power, it also means it reveals your source of power. Okay? All right? And the true nature of his mission. So if it revealed a church, the true nature of the church mission, it means that it revealed a true mission of our mission. Got it? Now, this third thing it says, and we're going to get into tonight, along with principles that should govern the church in every generation, along with principles that should govern the church in every generation. Now, I told you the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, was mentioned over 50 times ministering the Word of God. Baptism, the ministry of the Spirit in part, Acts 1:8. We talked about boldness in Acts 4:31. But now we in Acts 5, when a strange thing happened, and we don't fully understand it, but judgment came. And judgment came, and judgment came, fear came with it. But it was a type of fear that had a respect for God's awesomeness, and God has to judge sin. He has to judge sin. Now, he judged our sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. But if you just keep on sinning, he's going to have to deal with it. And so in certain sins, these people made a vow and broke the vow, and that's what happened. They had a problem here. So we're going to talk about the holy fear of the Lord, or walking in holy fear, walking in the holy fear of the Lord. Write that down, walking, because I'm going to explain it to you. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1, look there a minute. And this is you have to teach this very, very carefully. And you have to go slow enough for the Holy Spirit to be able to say what he wants to say whenever he wants to say it. But you're going to notice that in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 7, is a very pivotal verse. And then we're going to the 9th chapter. And you're going to see two things that are so important. So important. The fear of the Lord has to do with the knowledge of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, the understanding of the Lord, the discretion of the Lord, having spiritual perception. All has to do something with this reverential, honorable, knowing God awesomeness fear. There's a negative fear, but there's also a positive fear. There's an ungodly fear, but there's a godly fear. And we have to learn that godly fear, not having fear of men, but such a respect for the almightiness of God. Now, this means so much to you because a lot of prayers, a lot of scriptures that you've gotten a hold of and understood to a certain extent are not working at this time is because the church has to come to a revelation of holy fear, not scary fear, holy fear, okay? It'll keep you from sinning, keep you from lying, cheating. So here in Proverbs 1:7, notice this, notice how important this is. Now look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Think about that now. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, when we talk knowledge, Bible study-wise, let's talk revelation knowledge. Let's talk, make a note there. Let's talk revelation knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of God revealing himself to you. All right? And I just say to you that wisdom and instruction has to do something with the fear of God. And so the end of this verse here, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See? Now notice, turn to the 9th chapter. Because a few things I want to get into tonight to help you. But we're talking about the apostolic church had to come in grip with the fact that if you don't fear the Lord not going to reveal himself to you. Because what God shows you is too much of dynamite for an unwise person to play with. You didn't get it. See, you have to have a fear of the Lord before you can understand him mightily. Because that fear will keep you in a position to know who's doing this. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Now, we are not, the church today, we are not doing an eighth of what God wants us to do. Maybe smaller than that, 16th of what God wants us to do, want us to see, want us to experience, want us to, and you know, if we judge ourselves by other people, you don't have much of a competition now. You know, we say, look, they're not doing that over there. That we ain't got to do that. Listen, what you doing? We either didn't get us a weak person and make ourselves look strong. They don't pray in tongues. You know what I'm talking about, right? All right, in Proverbs 9:10. Notice it now. You know what you read a few minutes ago. Watch this now. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You see it? Now, fear produces trust and obedience and the avoidance of evil. You heard that? Say it again. Huh? Fear, yeah, the fear of the Lord produces trust and obedience and the avoidance of evil. Now, these 47 years I've been walking with the Lord, I have not practiced sin. But there's a fear of the Lord in me. See, the more I study, the more I see he's not to be played with. And the more I see, I don't have nowhere to hide. Psalmist said, if you go under the sea, he's under there. So I'm aware that he's there, and you never know. You never know if I pass that next forgiveness. When a person is sinning, they never know. If their space of repentance has expired. And so I want you to be aware of that. It's nothing to play with. You live right. You're going to live right if you fear God. Not a scary fear, because I'm going to give you some types of fear in a few moments. But I want to look at something here and see. I'll get you to look at it if I think we should look at it. The Lord's good, isn't he? My. I can't thank him enough for saving me. Then he put me in the ministry. Oh, Jesus. Look at Job 28. Job 28, if you will. Oh, my. Job 28. You won't forget it. And 28. Now I say the fear of the Lord produces trust and obedience, right? And the avoidance of evil. There's some evil you're not going to avoid unless you have the fear of the Lord. Because evil is so, there's such great temptation that come forth in this age. Satan uses some special stuff. You know, it's the same old thing, but he's dressing it up. In the 28th verse of Job 28. And unto man he says, behold, the fear, and I'm going to give you a definition of the fear of the Lord in a few minutes. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111. My. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandment, his praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandment. And then the boy get over in Ecclesiastes. I get to it. He give two things for a full life. He summarized it in two things. It's later the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. Yeah, he said that's the conclusion of the whole matter. Because you see, the fear of the Lord includes wisdom. It includes understanding. It includes instruction. It includes protection from evil. There's no temptation that is not common to man. See, a person who fears the Lord know that I can't be tempted above what I can stand. The devil can't make me do nothing. Now, let's look at four categories of fear so we can get this thing right. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll clarify and amplify this type of fear that the Lord wants us to have for our protection. Yeah. For our protection. Isn't that something? So there's a fear you are not to have. Come on, write this down. And there's a fear I am to have. I like that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a fear I'm not to have. I don't have to be afraid of nothing and nobody and no situation. You see? But then there's a fear I need to flow in, where I have respect and honor for God at all costs, at all times, no matter what. I can't do this. That's what Joseph said. Joseph said, I can't do this, man. I can't do this, woman. I'm letting my guard down. Yes, sir. Yeah, he did say it. You just said that like he didn't say it. He did say it. All right, in 1 John chapter 4, the first category of fear is slavish or demonic fear. Slavish or demonic fear. Now, if you don't have the real fear, you're going to have this one. Okay? Things that come so strong against you, it'll make you frightened, you know. But if you got the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord stop all other fear. Got it? Yeah, I'm going to give you a definition. But here in verse 18 of 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But in that perfect love is a fear. See? So this slavish, a demonic fear, if you fear for something, that means you're not made perfect in love. And you don't love God enough to fear him. Wow. You haven't been acquainted with him enough to fear him. To honor him with every breath you take. Every word you speak. And every place you go. You don't let nobody call you out of socket. Because you're out of town. Off the church ground. No, you the church. No. I can't do that. I can't do this. And then this one, this is where we have a problem. We have more problem with the next one than demons. Like we should have more problem with the demon, but this next one, we've got more problem with this. And if you don't do something about it, you'll never reach peaks in your life that God wants you to go, because this one will keep you from doing it. Proverbs 29. The second leg of fear we want to know before we get there, we're going to use the holy fear, be the last one of what we're talking about. The fear of man. What they going to think? If the Lord told you to do it, don't care what they think. In verse 25 of chapter 29, look what it says. The fear of men bring us a snare or bring us a trap. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Saved. So if God have revealed something to you and man say, no, I don't think you should do that, make sure you listen to what God told you to do. Because it might be 35 men over here. Everybody crossed the line, went on the other side. But you got a word from God. Just go ahead on with God. You're going to be all right. Many of our lives are restricted from growing in the spirit because of men. See. Jesus tried to hit it. Jesus said, think not that I come to send a sword. Peace. I come to send a sword. And he's not talking about mama and daughter. And he's saying that nothing can restrict my first place in your life. And what Satan would do is find a weak family member who try to bring some restriction on your love for God and your service to God and your praise and worship. They try to tell you, you don't need all that and all kind of stuff. He try to get close to you. But you stand your ground, God will win them. But for God's sake, don't let them win you. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, all your soul, all your mind at all times. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, there's not a man on the earth that you have to fear. Black man, white man, tall man, short man, come man who you may be. When somebody walking with God, they at total peace. When things seem like they're not going right, they know it got to come out right sooner or later. When a car, I used to drive race cars, when a car starts swirling, don't fight it, just hold the wheel. It'll straighten itself out. See, if you fight it, you're going to turn it and you don't know where you're going. So hold the wheel and mash on it. Now then there's number three, normal fear of danger in the physical is real. Normal fear of danger is real. And then, now you have to hear this, may the Spirit spit on this. That's a new one for me, may the Spirit spit on it. But Jesus spit, I know the Holy Spirit spit every now and then. Spit on a word, you know. Put acid of understanding in it. Holy fear in the spiritual realm. That's what we're talking about. Holy fear in the spiritual realm. See, if the church is going to make a transition, she can't fall for everything. She got to have this reverential fear. Now, the fear of the Lord means, here we go, a reverent awe of God's power, majesty, and holiness produces in us a holy fear of transgressing his revealed will. Oh, you must hear this. Must hear this and ask God to give it to you. Ask God to illuminate this for you. A reverential awe, a respect, and so much of an honor of God's power. Is he powerful?
Yes.
Majesty. And is God holy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I don't want to give him no credit what he don't have. And holiness, because I thought he might sin sometime. And holiness produces in us a holy fear. What kind of fear?
Holy
fear. Of transgressing his revealed will. Here's what he said. God said, when I show you something, I expect for you to do it. Because when I show it to you, at the same time, I'm giving you the power to do it. When I show you something not to do, I'm expecting for you not to do it because with the revelation of I don't want you to do that, I'm giving you the ability to not have to do it. Now, there's an overlay here. The next statement I'm going to make is because of that first statement. So I'm going to read the first statement again. The fear of the Lord means a reverence awe of God's power. See now, you can't have a reverent awe of God's power if you've never seen it. And the church at large have not seen the real power of God. Majesty, he's majesty, he's the master. And holiness, you know, God, the holy God. Now it produces in us a holy fear of transgressing his revealed will. So if you don't have his revealed will, you're just a church member. And so you live like the world. But if you got his revealed will, you know how to step it out. Steps of a good man is what? And he's what? Delighted. And then the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll do what? Give you the desire of your heart. See? See? Holiness has its dividend. tell you that right now. Now, on the bark of understanding that statement or that meaning of fear, such reverence is essential to gaining a heart of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. You see what I said? So you have to have that reverence for his holiness, his majesty, and his power. And by having that, it is essential to gaining it. You're not going to be able to gain a heart of wisdom without understanding the fear of the Lord. Now, in Acts 5, when them two people drop dead, we don't need nobody dropping dead here for this. Let's learn from what we read. You follow what I'm saying? I can't explain. They had more than one chance. And Sapphira probably been lying by some stuff. Because God ain't going to just knock you dead for one lie. Quit lying. Quit trying to, people try to pimp God. Yeah, they want God to heal them. They want God to love them. Want God to pay for the electric bill and all that. And then they go do what they want to do. Huh? God said, I'm not your Jody. I'm your father. I expect you to obey me and respect me. And if you wouldn't obey, you say, I'll make sure you eat the good of the land. See, the reason Satan messes with your mind, because once he gets your mind, he got your will. Now, the early church operated in wisdom. Now, here's something about wisdom you need to know. Wisdom is living and thinking according to God's righteous truth and ways. Wisdom, the God kind of wisdom, is living and thinking according to God's righteous truth and ways. Watch this next statement. Watch your next statement. Watch your next statement, Will. Watch your next statement. To approach all of life from God's point of view. To approach, oh my goodness, all of life. See, that's what the church is supposed to be doing. To approach all of life from God's point of view. Why? Because with revelation, in the context of revelation, God is revealing to you his point of view. When you follow that, you're listening? He is obligated to make it happen. Because he the one told you it was going to work. And he's not a man that he should lie. So he got to make it good. When you operate in wisdom, wisdom is to believe that everything God says is right and truth and is the only show standard by which to live. Wow. Y'all hearing me? Internet, are y'all hearing me out there? Listen, I got to read this over. Wisdom, I got to read the whole thing over. We got to hear this. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel that you're about to overcome some stuff, man. Listen, what? We're making a transition. We're going to live like the early church lived because we have the same God, same Jesus, same Holy Ghost, same Word of God. What? Sometimes there are some things that we have to annihilate in order for God to be in his fullness. And then people get worried because they think you're hurting people. No, we're not dealing with hurting people, but we got to deal with the truth. Here's wisdom again. You ready? Living and thinking according to God's righteous truth and ways to approach all of life from God's point of view. To believe that everything God says is right and truth and is the only sure standard by which to live. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. I wish I'd have had that 25 years ago. Now here's where you're going to have to be, get personal. If you're going to be able to flow with what I believe God leading us into. Okay, and enjoy the benefit of it. Turn to Psalm 34. Say, I'm here. My eyes open. My ears open. My heart is open. Speak, God. Your servant heareth. All right. Now, I'll tell you right now. Here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm hearing in the spirit. All of your problems just jammed in one corner and said, Lord, have mercy. Write that down. Write it down. It's worth having because I heard it in my spirit. Everything that is against you, they're all jammed in one corner. And they're saying, Lord, have mercy. Because the places you're going now and the things that God's spirit is saying to you, He's enlarging your tent. He's increasing your anointing. He's increasing your capacity to hold truth. He's given you the divine ability to do like He would do it. A new standard of living is coming upon your life tonight. Thank you, Lord. That's right. It's beyond our imagination. What God is saying to us and what God is doing He's doing it to us. He's doing it for us. Be bold. The Lord thy God is with thee. And by revelation and by the fear of the Lord and by understanding and by instruction and by discretion and by wisdom and by perception in the spirit realm, you are no loser. Never. Never. All temporary delay. And I'm going to pray them while the delay is on. Can't go wrong when it's nobody can come out, just start praising Him. Start jumping around and hollering His name, hollering hallelujah. You know. Until the opposition recognize who they're messing with. Psalm 34. Man. Now get this, because God always presented the fear of the Lord as both a choice and a gift imparted by His Spirit. Let me give it again, because the verse we're about to read now, somebody's package is about to be delivered. Listen. Yes, absolutely. It's time. The pack is overdue, man. Yes. You've been believing God. When government line up and the anointing is right and the atmosphere is right, the answers are easy. A lot of packages are delivered to my house, Denise. What is UPS and who else that is? FedEx, yeah. And they want to know, is the dog out the yard? The man who come check a meter, he said, Revion, I'm on the point. Revion, is that dog up? And so what we're doing now, we're getting the dog out the yard. That we can, come on now. Oh. Y'all don't even see what I'm talking about. See the dog been barking in the yard, holding your stuff off. But by revelation, you take the dog out your yard. Got it? Are you ready for this? Let me read this again, man. I might have to just stay right here. This, you know, he said, God has always presented the fear of the Lord as both a choice, say choice, and a gift. Now, notice them two words. Notice them two words now. Choice, gift. God has always presented the fear of the Lord as a choice and gift. Now, what's up there? I mean, why we say it like that? You can choose not to. And you can refuse the gift. The fear of the Lord is a gift. And it's a choice. And by the time I'm through with you, you're going to take it. All right? Now, sit down. Let me show it to you. And it has to be, oh my. Let me not miss this part. We can't miss this part. It has to be imparted by the Spirit. You can't come up on your own to fear the Lord. I just fear it. No, the Holy Spirit had to put that awesomeness in you, because you see, you can't really see God yourself unless the Holy Spirit reveal it. You don't know His majesty just because you say it. That's why most Christians can live normal lives, because the Spirit has not illuminated or imparted to them. Who they love God to a, I don't want to say minor degree, but a small degree, because they don't know how to go no farther. And they're stubborn and they fight it. But if they want to let the Lord impart it to them, everything we get from God has to be impartation. By the Spirit of God, not by man, but by God. God used men and women as instrument, but it has to come from Him. Whatever happened the other night has to come from Him and be imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, that you can leave and live like this as a lifestyle. God, I receive your choice. My choice is your choice. Your choice is my choice. I received the gift tonight. Change is coming in my life tonight. I received the gift of honoring and respecting you so much and recognizing that I can't hide nothing from you. I'm going to live right, Lord. You know, help me, Holy Spirit. Because what I'm about to read to you now, I'm telling you, it's so real. But unless you understand this, you're not going to be able to understand it. Psalm 34, watch this. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. That is. Huh? Read that about 33 times. Watch what happened to you. Oh, fear the Lord, oh, ye His saints. For there's no want to them that fear Him. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Watch this. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What I'm doing? Teaching you to fear the Lord. It's an aspect of the Christian life that had been left out and not understood. Let's go back over something now. It's a choice. It's a gift. It has to be imparted by the Holy Spirit, right? You know, you should ask the Lord, let me walk in it. It's my choice. I receive the gift. Because He's telling us that when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you don't want for no good thing. Why? Because wisdom step in, understanding step in, instruction. I'm talking about divine wisdom, divine understanding, divine knowledge, divine instruction. They all follow suit because now they know they can open something up to you because you're not going to clown. Now, do you really see this? The importance of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Didn't he say that? Yes. Beginning. You can't go to the end without starting with the beginning. You look at the Bible since, and they said certain things will come up and say, no, man, I can't do this, man. It's dishonoring God. No, I can't do this. You see, you shut the blessing valve. Satan know that. So that's why you don't want the church to understand government. Why? Because it stunts revelation. Revelation can't come forth with a bunch of mad folks. Listen to me now. You had to. So. Just what the Bible says is what's going on here. I have to teach you what the fear of the Lord is. And that you have to make a charge about it. And you can't make a charge in the natural. You can say all the confession you want. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals some of this stuff to you, you're not going to make that charge. You're going to keep on doing what you won't do. What's three-quarters of this church doing tonight? They're doing what they want to do. I've talked to them. I've cried. Saliva come out of my mouth over the years. They're still... The television, what they call them preachers on television? Preachers what? California preachers, what? No, them preachers. They got some preachers coming. They got a name. Y'all, some of y'all know. California preachers, what do you call them, Buck? Huh? L.A. preachers. They'd rather stay home and watch L.A. preachers than get here and get the real thing. All of them rented calls. Them houses not really on them houses. Soon as that movie get on, people say, get your tail out of here. You on this? Give me my lease. You want to see a real preacher? Look at your pastor. I'm a real preacher. I ain't faking nothing. God is who he say he is. God is who he say he is. You ain't got to be watching no L.A. preacher. Them people lying. It's a disgrace to God. And just like I said about Flip Wilson, kept playing around. They'll come off. They'll fry. One of their greatest deficits now is that the government pull their money back. They built all them buildings on government. I told them 15 years ago, leave that government money alone. God of your soul. No, they're all building them nice buildings. They had to name them a certain way, you know. This is not no government money here. This is the law. It's the Lord doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Everything cut back now. Come on, let's go. Come on, let me get some more definition quickly. I got 16 months. Here's why it's a choice. The fear of the Lord is a choice. It is a choice because it involved the decision of our will to respond to the gracious invitation of God's word and spirit. Oh my goodness. Listen, children, I want y'all to hear this. And only if we truly fear the Lord will we be delivered from slavery. Let me have my... I can't hardly take no more, man. Let me read this to you again. Jesus. Listen. It is a choice because it involved the decision of our will to respond. Now, there's a scripture in Philippians 1:13, I believe. God is at work in you to do of his will and of his good pleasure. God help you with that, you see. 13 to 13 verse? Yeah. Philippians 1:13. 2:13, yeah, write that down. Get that down. Because God will work with your will, you see. Then you got Romans 12:2, where it said, be not conformed to the world, be you transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God's word is his will. But it has to be, it's a revealed will. It's not only a paid for will, but it's a revealed will. It had to be revealed to you. Quite natural, when God revealed his will to you, he's revealing his fatherhood, he's revealing your inheritance to you. So quite natural, you're going to make some folks angry. When you go to live in a real Christian life and putting God in first place, and God start putting you in first place, you're going to have some enemies. But that's okay. Just keep doing the Father's will. Keep getting people saved. Keep loving people. Keep walking in love. Keep walking by faith. Keep walking in the Spirit. Huh? You need to hear this, because here's the end of slavery here. It is a charge because it involves the decision of our will to respond. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. See, you got to respond. To respond to the gracious invitation of God's word and spirit. Now, that invitation is written in Revelation. See, it had to be revealed to you. And only when we truly fear the Lord, listen, class, only when we truly fear the Lord will we be delivered from slavery. See, when you fear the Lord, you're going to be walking in revelation knowledge, revelation wisdom, revelation instruction, revelation understanding, the Holy Spirit unfolding God in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your car. He said, don't do this, do this. This don't even look right, but I'm going to do it by faith. That which is not of faith is sin. That's why God teach us in codes and parables. He got to get us where we can operate in faith. He can't be ABC all the time. He got to do something like spit on the ground, make clay, put it on your eyes. Nobody never seen this remedy before. The man said, I'm already, he can't get no blind. He's already blind. God put mud pack on his eye. You ever got a mud pack face? Anybody else? That mud, someone I was a barber, that mud crack on your face, but it'd be drawing the infirmities out of your body. You're going to just start getting tight. That's like some of that old time lie y'all put on your head. And they say, oh, it's hot. Get this thing off of you. Because I remember we'd do process in the barbershop, you know. That guy said, man, so the water broke. Man, you better get some water. That thing on fire, boy, that lie. You see them men with that pretty process that way? That's some lie on their head, boy. When you go back to Acts 9:31, it talks about those four things: rest, edification, the fear of the Lord, and walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Then it say multiply. Church multiply. It still means it multiply when you do that also in your life. The sincere fear of the Lord in our heart will be accompanied by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. All right? I'm at Acts 9:31. Let me give you three or four things. I'm going to give scripture, but I'm not going to look them up. Luke emphasized the formula to fear God. It is the God fear us. God fear us. Holiness is a conduct. You will not be able to do it without fearing God. Righteousness is a position that will not work without fearing God. Sanctification is a process, and you will not process into sanctification if you don't fear God. You got too much pulling at you in this world system. Too many offers being made to you that look good. In Luke chapter 1, verse 50, it says, his mercy extends to those who fear him. The fear of the Lord produces trust and obedience as well as the avoidance of evil. I told you that earlier, remember? All right, let's look at one or two. We'll try to get better. Let's look at, now, that was definition. I'll give you some more definition. But let's look at the reason for the fear of the Lord. The reasons for the fear of the Lord. Number one, we should fear him because of his authority as the creator and of all things and people. Let's start looking at some scriptures now. In Psalm 33, we should fear him because of his authority as the creator of all things and people. Now, if God is all that, whom shall I fear? What situation do I have to fear if God is all that? All I have to do is fear God. Now, I was thinking about the Lord. How can I say this? I believe I can say it now. This is going to sound backward, but it's going to help you. Your faith is not reckoned right because you don't have enough fear. If you understand about the fear of the Lord, you have, let's see how I say it. All right, you have the real fear of the Lord by wisdom, revelation, all that come. That type of fear tell you your faith can't fail. Your prayer can't fail because that type of fear, you cannot put God in a failing category. Listen, children, something comes in my spirit. You want it?
Yes, sir.
God is always final. God is always final. Final. That's it. It's finished. God is always final. F-I-N-A-L, how you spell final? Yeah, he's final. I might not be saying it right, but he's always final. There's, nobody has no discussion. No, like Jesus said, it's finished. God is final. You have to understand that when you got the fear of the Lord, the final, the conclusion of the whole matter is that God got this thing in his hand. I don't know what's going on right now. I don't care. All I know is I got to walk in the fear of the Lord. I know God is working this thing out on my behalf. Huh? I know when the dust gets too flying, I am going to still be standing because he who holds me up cannot fall. See, when you get a revelation from the scripture in your spirit, it's over. Don't care how long it takes. It's a done deal. So you got to walk like this. How it going? It's over. God has spoken. You know, some of these things that I say is just not too highly educated, you know. But I'm hearing something else now, and I'm going to start saying what God tells me because it blessed people. When God speaks, it stops all leaks. In other words, no way for you to lose. There's no way for you not to have it. He stopped everything that seemed to be draining you. When God speaks, he stops all leaks. And you can't let the devil get in your mind to mess with your will. They'll tell you God not doing it. It's done. It's finished. It's final. Hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Our God is a faithful God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I don't have to ask nobody what I can do for you. All I need is your permission. God, dog, man. You heard that? All I need is your permission. It's no question about can I do it. If you give me permission, I'm going to set you in another realm. And another realm. And another realm. Infinitum. I'm God. That's what he's saying to us tonight. So the little badgering and the little ruts you run into, they're all training. Yeah. Don't fall out in training. You're not going to ever get to the position. I'm trying to position you at another level. Yeah, Lord, I'll tell them. Stop comparing yourself with people. Stop being competitive. Just put it in drive and go where God tell you go. I taught the minister in the LTMA, look, we're not going to have no competition here now. I said, if I find somebody with competition, I'm going to deal with them. Because we're supposed to be complimenting each other. That's why we preach so smooth together. Nobody trying to show off. And I'm going to say this. I'll see how for you. And everybody yield to one man. She'll wasting her time. You'll be wasting her time. Huh? Yes, they know that one man sitting over there. Yeah. And I'll deal with them. I'm training them. That's all I'm doing is training them. When they learn government, now, every church that is following me that way, they're getting the same respect out of their member. Yeah. Remember the man says, I'm a man in authority, so I know how authority works. When you all submit fully to church government, everything will get in place in your house, on your job, your business. Everything will start. See, because we not on purpose, but through lack of knowledge. What do you say? My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. See, so lack of knowledge, we can't have the fear of the Lord. When the Lord send you a message, he expects you to take it like he's talking to you. For yield. And in the early church, they trusted the apostle. Whatever the apostle said, yes, sir, let's go. And the blessings start falling. Because that same apostle that they trusted for something else, when that apostle looked at him and said, you heal, they get healed. Why? They trust him. You can't trust for just what you want. You got to trust the whole package or you're getting none of it. We're getting this? So I got to share with you now because you're becoming apostolic. You're becoming in the strength of the foundational works of the Lord and seeing things from heaven to earth, direction. And some of you all got ministries and they all been starting out wrong. They all start out wrong. It's a time and you got to listen to the Lord. The Lord gonna tell you when. I stay with the Lord talking to somebody. I stay with my pastor. People try to push me. I said, no. What Reb said? What the pastor said? People said, oh, you preach better. I said, nope, I don't hear that. I'm gonna preach better than man. I've been preaching 40 years and I just got out of bed. I just stay there with him. And I think, I want to get it right. I know it was a funeral wake in Darrow, down in Darrow, and they chose me to go. And I went, and that's when Audrey them saw me and heard me say a few words, asked me would I come back and preach for them. I wasn't looking to get out. I was sitting right there under him, serving him, holding the communion tray, Gene. And when you hold communion tray for BJ, you about an hour, he going to preach. He preached at every house. I was so tired when I got back home. I said, hallelujah. He preached at every house he went to. Some of y'all know my pastor. But I was just holding the tray. I'm going to tell you a money secret. Huh? You listening? You better hear me now. Are you going to hear what I said?
Yes,
you ready to hear?
Yes, sir.
Your harvest will purchase anything you want.
Amen.
Did you get it?
Yes,
your harvest will purchase anything you dream about. The seed not going to do it. The only thing the seed going to do is produce the harvest. But it's the harvest that, see, the harvest paid for everything. The harvest, we send money off. Now the harvest paid for the 600 acres of land. The harvest paying for that plan. I send ministers $10,000 at a time. Sometimes two and three ministers as the Lord leads. They got projects they're working on, different things they're doing. See, that money coming back to you all. See, now if you get this in your spirit, you know why people sow like this, why people about to do what they want to do. See, the harvest pay for everything. Had a man want to buy an RV. Okay. And he said, no, I'm not going to buy it now because they're going to mess with my seed. But he texted me and said, the harvest is going to pay for my RV. Man, that was a thrilling word to me. I heard it from him. He said, harvest. Then I got it. I got a whimper that. Troop, I got a whimper that. I said, man, the harvest can pay for everything. That's God's will. See, but I'm not talking about hustling 20-something years and pay a house off. I'm talking about, I mean, you're all the debt off. I'm talking about paying it off by harvest. I ain't talking about waiting on 35 years to pay no house off, all that stuff. Thank God you could do it. But I'm talking about paying it off now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not lying.
Yes, sir.
That's the word of God. Honor the Lord with your substance. First fruit of your increase. He said, he bless you with plenty. And he'll fill your bone. It's a reality. It's a reality. Let me tell you something in dismissing today. You ready? Come on, I want you to hear it. What today is? Wednesday? You're going to have a good week. Now, by inspiration, see, these things come in my spirit, and I'm bold enough to say them now. As you're going to have a good week, there's going to be some opening within the next 7 days. Wow, what a good God. Aren't you glad you're here? Woo! Go in peace. Go in peace. Hallelujah.